Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, is that Mag?
Yeah, it's Mag.
All right, this is Update Nerd Style, and that is Mag, and I am Benjamin David. Mag, where are you from?
I am from Steady Geekin'.
Another awesome podcast, and I am from the Above and Batman Beyond podcast. So today, unfortunately, we're not here on the most happy of circumstances, but a guy like Anthony Bourdain deserves at least an update nerd style from us. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
So one of the things that Mag and I were talking about, it was cool because in the podcast thread, or sorry, the text thread, you know, sometimes people respond, people don't. People are busy at different times, but it was cool that you almost immediately responded and you and I kind of had a bit of a one-on-one about Bourdain and how we felt like we both had something in common with him. So why don't you talk about, definitely, I thought that'd be a cool theme of it, that, and I think that even before you and I began on our own personal connections to him, he was a guy that you could relate to. And I think that anyone watching any of those programs from any walk of life could agree that that guy who tried his best to make himself relatable and was successful in doing so on some level. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. He totally was how you would say, you could tell, like, he was just a common man, you know, like,
right.
He just was just a laid back from the shows and the way he speaks, and just, you can see he's a welcoming person.
Even while he's talking about, like, the most sophisticated food on the planet.
Yeah, or
or not, yeah. So, well, so why don't you talk about, I mean, again, I have my own list and reasons, and but why don't you get into maybe some of the things that you found him relatable and what made what he did so watchable. I don't know if you also read his books, so readable. What engaged you with Anthony Bourdain?
So I think I started watching him around 2007 when it was on the National Geographic, which was his original show, No Reservations.
Yes.
And it was just unique because I was just pretty much transitioning from Navy life to regular, I guess, you know, civilian life, you could say. And
You traveling around, I assume, with the Navy?
Yeah, I traveled around. So, like, right away that clicked in. Like, I went to, like, a whole bunch of cool places I wish I got to see.
Mm.
And he actually went to some places that I was at. Like, he went to Singapore, and I was like, oh, I've been to Singapore.
Nice.
And he was just, you know, this – just by – and plus he has the same – Mag's real name is Anthony, so like I right there clicked that. So that was like another like click, and just the way, you know, he presented himself, and by watching his show showed me how much more, I guess, how much more I enjoyed actually cooking. And also I'm into cooking, like I do work in a place where we make food for people.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, they're not the high-skilled restaurants, but it's a restaurant, so to speak. It's a prison. So, you know.
No, but if you read his book, Medium Raw, and I'm sure he talks about it in his first one, too, Kitchen Confidential, that he worked a lot of the time that he personally worked was like brunch places, not sophisticated kitchens. So, yeah, don't. He even beyond the grave, he doesn't look down upon anyone. He's, again, the common man's cook.
Yeah. And he was, you know, and like, he's just so relatable because, you know, he got this show, you know, he gets to go eat all kinds of different exotic foods and really teach us outsiders there's more to the world than just little USA and the McDonald's, I guess you could say, here in the US, you know?
So true. I mean, we're a very America is as proud of this country as I am, but I was also someone who my whole life, even before watching that show and getting into it, made it a goal in my own life to travel and to see the world. And I did that to an extent, and I lived in other countries and did so to seek that kind of understanding about the world. Not to say that I gained all the answers by doing it. All I mean is that his mission, I think, was similar to mine and why I related to him, which was just, and I put it on my list of stuff about him that was relatable, is his open-mindedness, is that even if he didn't like something, it's not like he ever went to a place going, I'm going to love this.
Yeah.
And that's what was so cool about his show versus other travel shows and versus other food shows, is that he was never just, he was never naively enthusiastic. He was always genuinely enthusiastic. If he liked something, he liked it and loved it. If he didn't, he would sit there and say it. And it was just, but it, yes. The point is he sought to have an open mind. And I really respected that coming from America, where, as proud again as I am, it's like, one of the reasons I was motivated to do that was because I knew we came from a pretty ethnocentric place. Like, we kind of have it all here, and we get a little closed-minded toward other countries because we have it so good. So I totally agree.
And he also, like, you know, he went to, like, I was watching one episode where he went to, like, underground China, where it was just old school, authentic. They were cooking right on the side of the street.
Yeah.
And it was it's just being able to do that, and then, like, relating it to my, you know, being into the Navy and then going to other places and eating out in different countries, like you said, you know, it's different than eating here in the U.S. And we take that for granted, I think. And he showed, like, you know, that even if you're the poorest person, you can still eat well. And that's, like, in China, that's what they were doing. They literally used, like, every little thing that they had accessible to them and made, like, this. It looked terrible on TV. But like you said, he made, like, once he tasted, he had the face, and it was just like, oh, I don't know if I'll try that. But then he ate it, and it was like, boom, he fell in love with the meal. And he was like, this is, probably never went to another Chinese restaurant back here in the States again. You know?
Yeah, seriously. And he's also from New Jersey, of all places. So,
yeah.
And so it's not like, not just because of me personally, but if you think that he's might be from some, like, upper, you know, hoity-toity, like, family that was always traveling and shit, it's not the way it was. Like, he grew up in a very kind of boring middle class, maybe upper middle class, just New Jersey family, like, and nothing special.
And he had street smarts, you know. You could tell just by the way he carried himself.
Right.
These, like other countries. Yeah, obviously, you know, you got your camera crew, all that. But I felt like you can tell he dictated everything that went on with his shows, even when he got carried over to CNN. To what's the title of the show there? No Reservations, right?
No, the first one was No Reservations.
Parts Unknown.
Yeah, Parts Unknown. That was incredible.
And that was, like, you know, that's the one, streets of China, you know. And I was like, this man is borderline crazy. I just liked him so much. I enjoyed him. And like you said, he was from Jersey, but he went to a college out here near me, you know.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah. You went to Ithaca, right?
He went to Vassar College in the Culinary
Arts. Oh, Vassar, that's what it was.
In the Culinary Institute of America.
Right.
Which is, you know, 20 minutes from me. I drive by it quite a few times. In my, you know, so it's,
oh,
cool.
I didn't know CIA was up there.
Yeah, it's, you know, a beautiful campus, by the way. But I'm sure I've heard he's made numerous trips there, and, you know, he would do his – he wasn't afraid to use his time to talk to the – culinary arts students and reach out to people, you know. And he
was always connected to his roots, that's for sure.
Yeah. And he wasn't, you know, and he also was I don't know, I'm getting a little emotional here, because this guy really, like, I clicked with him, and the struggles he's had in life, and he still succeeded, you know. And it just shows, like, regardless of, you know, you live in the dream, there's always something there more that you don't know what's going on behind the tape, you know?
Well, yeah, man, I think that's a, you know, probably one of the reasons you're getting emotional. It's totally understandable. And it's what I had at the top of my list, is that this guy at many points of his life, and I don't want to, before I'll disclaim that, like, yes, obviously he just, his journey ended tragically. So I don't want to say anything against his name, but he put it in his own later book, Medium Raw, one of the ones that I've been listening to now. And he said, like, basically he would admit that, like, more of his life was kind of him fucking up than succeeding. This was a guy who fucked up a lot. And, like, yeah. I know what that's like. And I know what that's like in, you know, a lot of different ways, anywhere from letting my family down to just, like, doing stuff that was borderline dangerous, never really violent, but just some shit. Like, I was into some shit, and I surrounded myself with people who were equally shit. And that usually adds up to not caring much about yourself and just having a maybe, or just a generally dark, this is on my list too, just kind of like cynic. He was a cynic. He had a lot of dark, he was aware of the darkness, if you will. And who knows, I don't want to make any presumptions as to what, you know, brought about his own decision to end his life, but it, he, maybe some of that openness, like, I relate to that too, because it's like, if you're going to be open-minded, you have to be perceptive of the darkness.
Yes. It's always there. You know, like you said, we all, as much as he's fallen, you know, he did get to the point to rise above it to a point. And, you know, like you said,
and I don't want the end to, like, you know, besmirch that either, or, you know, I don't want it to, like, negate that. I just meant, you know, he brought himself out of it with a success. I agree.
Yeah. And he, you know, and to this, you know, he'll always go down as a good, you know, he changed the culture a lot, I feel, with his shows. And that's what shows were about, like you said, the open-mindedness and just doing his way, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, that's, changing the world was another thing that I had in mind to say too, that in the book that I've been reading, again, Medium Raw, and it's cool because I'm listening to the audio version of it. I recently signed up for Audible, and among a bunch of other books that we'll talk about at some point. But his, like, hearing him, especially now post-mortem, like only a couple days thereafter. And then just to backtrack a bit, my whole experience with the Bourdain thing recently has just been like, it was really weird because leading up to, like, a week before his death, I had watched, and in fact, our last episode of this very podcast you're listening to, the last update Nerd Style, was me going to a video store, which there's like three left of on the planet, and getting a couple DVDs. One of them was Land of the Dead, and I promise it's going to become relevant in a minute, but Land of the Dead stars Sylvia Argento, and Sylvia Argento is, I think her name's Sylvia, either way, it's Dario Argento's daughter. Dario Argento is, like, a famous, super legendary Italian filmmaker, and so it would make sense, and she was an Italian actress and shit, so it made sense that, like, George Romero put her in that Land of the Dead movie from 2005, some random ass. So then I'm hearing all this stuff, and I knew he had, like, an Italian girlfriend who was an actress. And then I see this tweet saying, like, my thoughts are with his family. Please respect their privacy and mine, Sylvia Argento. And I'm like, Sylvia, what the fuck? It was just so weird. Like, I'm not a fate person. I'm not a man of, when we get into the philosophy stuff, like, I respect all belief systems. I just happen to be on the skeptical side of things. So I don't, but I will say, if you are a believer, so, like, I got those DVDs. When the hell does anyone go to video stores? Then that kind of happens, and then after that, like, what was the other thing too? There was something else with him, and it was just all this kind of just weird shit. And maybe it's just because someone close to you, it kind of shit comes together or when something hits you like that, and it's like, oh, that's what it was. I thought it was weird that the person who told me, so I didn't know about it. I've been training, like working out with this guy who's an executive chef, and he comes in, he's like, yo, did you hear about Anthony Bourdain? I'm like, what the fuck? So I thought that was a little weird too, that like one of my good friends, yet an executive chef, told me.
Yeah. And he also, you know, like you said, he not only is he a book writer, he also is a mixed martial artist.
Yeah, he started getting into that, like, and other cool shit. Good call.
He won the International Open Championship in 2018 at the middleweight at age 56 and older division. 100% sure on that, but I do know.
No, yeah, he placed. I heard he was like competitive and placed and shit.
Yeah, he definitely, like, I seen a picture of him and like he was ripped. You're like, holy cow, for 50, you know, like he had washboard abs pretty much. You know, and for as much drinking that the man has done on the shows, you're like, how do you keep those abs? Because I would like to know.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, his family and all that, and with actress, that's pretty crazy though. Like, you buy that movie, and then a week or so later?
Yeah, it was like a week or days.
Because I seen the post of the videos you bought, and I was like, oh, a Kung Fu movie.
Yeah.
So, and it was like...
And that podcast was totally on a whim. Like, I was at the mall to see Solo. Like, I was there to see a movie in the theaters, and then I was like, I don't really... this movie can wait. So I went into Suncoast Video. So it was just even weirder for that reason. But...
Which is just ironic, like you said, how you found a video store, like, still in existence, like, one of the two that are still left.
Yeah, like, who the hell is going to video stores, and who the hell is making podcasts going, like, this is what I got at the video store?
Yeah, so that was a pretty cool call there, too, you know?
Thanks. But yeah, like, I guess back to Bourdain, the writing thing is another thing that I wanted to talk about as well. Digging into his book, I talked about the travel connection I had with him before, and I guess we could just weave it into it. But, like, his writing, the reason we know who Bourdain is, which this will sound obvious when I first say it, that the book he wrote, Kitchen Confidential, is what first got him the fame and then the TV deal. So listening to that trajectory doesn't sound like that surprising. What you might not know is that, and I didn't know until even recently, only probably a month or two before his death as well, was that he was not, I guess it had been a long time since I had watched the show or whatever, never listened carefully enough, and I had never read any of his books, but he was never, and he's super honest about it in the book, he was never a great chef. Like, he never considered himself a great chef, and knew for a fact that he never got to the caliber of being, like, probably even to, like, the Food Network people that he didn't like so much. You know, so, like, it's really fascinating to me that this guy was this drug addict fuck up, like, who was just happened to be a good writer. And this is, I'm going to get emotional talking about it, but it's just like, you know, what I have to say and what we have to say matters. And even if my goal is to only reach out to like the common guy in the area of New York and New Jersey who cooks every night for a living, like, even if that guy can read my column and connect with that, just to pass that down and to connect with people, that's enough. And that is such a beautiful thing. Like, a man who respects the word to that degree. And then, of course, we all know what happened after that with the TV and everything. And that's where the deals came from and his fame. But I just, a guy who didn't go into it ever expecting anything out of it. And I have so much been modeling myself after that now. It's like, I'm a 33-year-old man who, like, was a teacher for 4 years and decided to drop it altogether to try some shit that I actually love. And that at the top of that list is writing. So I can't relate more to that part of his life either. So I just definitely wanted to mention the writing thing.
Yeah, and it's a lost art too. Like he probably, I haven't read any of the books because I don't like reading. Yeah. That's just my flaw in life. And even like people are like, "Oh, do the audio." I can't even do the audio. It's just that bad for me because my attention to that stuff. Like I probably should, but I'm sure I might grab both of his books because I do have like just this connection with the guy.
And yeah, I think you might get into, if you had that connection, you strangely might get into the, especially when with his voice reading it, you might get into it.
And it just sounds so like so interesting because, like you said, it's literally him talking about, you know, him being the average Joe chef, right? Pretty much,
or cook. Yeah, like most of the book is him like going into detail about how much he had fucked up his life. Before, during,
after,
like, because Medium Raw is even after. I think it's between. I don't know. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm pretty sure it's between No Reservations and Parts Unknown. And No Reservations again was the first one, and way after the original book, Kitchen Confidential. So this is it's cool listening to like a flashback and getting even kind of. Because I knew that book blew him up, and again, I'm going to read the first one, but it's cool hearing a guy like, oh yeah, even when I hit it with the TV network, I was still spiraling into,
yeah.
like, the fame is never going to save you, and I love that too, is like, America now needs to hear that, and probably even the rest of the world now with social media, like, the whole world is this TV, reality TV, I want to become famous overnight, obsessed with. Everybody's got a camera and a microphone, and they think
money solves everything.
Yeah, money and fame,
or even in fame and success. Yeah. You know, we're all hounds for that 15. What used to be said, the 15 seconds of fame. Well, 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah,
more so 15 seconds. Like social media, YouTube.
Yeah, it's money. Now it's 15 seconds, and it's I will do anything to get it.
Yeah, anything.
And that's what everything. I think even us growing up, like, you know, he was kind of among those people and why I always respected him too. Like, as much as he might have made money, the dude really never, like, sold out as in terms of how many endorsements and, like, how many food people, like, frozen dinner companies and shit coming his way. He's like, I am not endorsing that bullshit.
Yeah. And
so you got to respect that.
He's true. To who he is. So, and like you said, you know, just working in the field, like I don't think I'm the greatest. I hate cooking. And then people are like, oh, your food's so good. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, I just don't like, I really don't like doing it. But it's what it is.
Yeah, and I think he was honest about that too. Like, you know, it was he said it was a job. That's what it was. It was not even as good as he got about it and as passionate as he ever was about food. Like, he looks back on it as not the most glamorous thing ever and is surprised and feels lucky that he ever got out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess what we can kind of wrap up and just going also that the guy was part of the traveling and his personality too. I had listened to some podcasts. Oh, this was another weird thing. I think that's what it was that I was trying to remember. I had been doing like as much of a podcast listener as I am, I've been doing like some YouTube podcast dives on my favorite shows. So sometimes you'll catch like YouTube clips that are not necessarily on the podcast feed or vice versa or whatever. So it was like, it was one of them was Joe Rogan. And then the other one was, Mark Maron's podcast. And so I had caught episodes of both of those that I hadn't, or no, sorry, Maron posted it the day that Bourdain died. That's what it was. He just posted it, did no intro or anything. He was just like, this is Anthony Bourdain from 2011. Listen. So I thought that was cool, but it was Joe Rogan. That's what was weird. It was like a month before his death, I watched the YouTube of Joe, him on Joe Rogan. And like, he was just talking about that. He never, like that he was, damn it, I forgot where I was going with this. Now I Damn it. I got caught up in how weird I thought that was too, that I hadn't like watched anything Bourdain related and then caught a podcast.
And then
the most recent thing.
Joe Rogan.
But I don't know, whatever it was, like one of the last things I wanted to say was that he was an answer seeker, and he was a guy that part of the traveling I know. Oh, that's what it was. So in the conspiracy, he used to talk about how he used to be obsessed on Rogan. He was talking about he used to be obsessed with conspiracy theories and like ended up not believing any of them. But like before the internet was the internet, he was going through like books that were like, he would go through the footnotes of a book and be like, I have to find this book now to find out the answer. Like all this, he would go in all these like, you know, physical book deep dives way before anyone was doing this shit online to find out who killed Kennedy, like stuff like that. Oh, and then ended up being like, you know, and now I don't believe any of it and I'm a cynic. But as cynical as the guy was, like, again, he was an answer seeker, a truth, you know, always trying to like seek the truth. And then whenever he found it, he was honest about it. And like, that's part of probably why he traveled, is that trying to see, well, is this area of the world, like, yeah, they might have some fucking dictator and it's a really messed up place. And like, you know, people there might live a horrible life and believe in horrible things, but you know, I'm going to get emotional again, but like everybody has to sit down to eat and like everybody has a story.
Yes. And
no one asked to be born in some fucked up country, and no one. And I just think that it's beautiful that this was a guy who in the past 20 years, this country, America, hasn't been so open to other parts of the world because for various reasons, and legitimate or not, this was a guy who saw past all the bullshit and sat down and ate with people. So I think that we should all kind of take a chapter out of his book, literally.
Yes, it's totally the way to go, I believe.
You know, we're very much in a time of, because I don't agree with you, you're bad, and I can make up my own facts, and I can make up my own, and not to get too modern day political, but even now, maybe more so, like, this guy mattered, and look at all of his stuff, read all his books, that's a true loss, man.
And also, with a quick, before we go,
yeah,
Netflix extended the, because they were actually going to take his show off of the streaming service, and they actually are going to keep it on for, I think, the remainder of the year, possibly.
Oh, good call. Yeah, I did want to talk about how I dug back into some episodes I hadn't seen and some ones that highlights of ones that I had seen of Parts Unknown. And God, like, if you're not familiar with No Reservation and Parts Unknown, before we go, just to explain it real quick, if you've never seen any of his shows, No Reservations is, we'll say it like, starts from the food perspective, and then from the food perspective you learn about what's going on in the country.
Culture.
So he'll go to a place and be like, all right, I'm looking for street food, as the title suggests, like no reservations, but at the same, like, so it has to be a hole in the wall or some very like authentic, super local place that represents that part of the world, but kind of the lens is through the food. With Parts Unknown, and this isn't coming from him, this is just my own observation, and I'm sure others have made the same, it seems like he flipped the lens and just went, all right, well, now I'm going to do it on CNN, or this is who wants to put it out. And it was kind of more through the lens of the culture, and then food was secondary to it. And that, I thought, you know, because at that point he had been so experienced as a world traveler, he had really seen the world and probably went back to a lot of the same places from No Reservations. And it was amazing to see him at that point. And this is another thing I always want to do too, and what I do with the podcast. Like, I do consider myself a journalist. And he did that. Talk about fucking journalism. You know?
Yeah. He pretty much revolutionized the way to do, like, to use the food as the outlet to get the story, pretty much.
Seriously. Yeah, I guess that's probably a great point to wrap on, is it's just like, you're not going to catch any other food shows doing that. Nobody on the Food Network, and part of that book, Medium Raw, like, he admits, you know, maybe I'm going to go after these people for a bit. I do like them all, but like Rachel Ray and fucking all these dudes, like it's, that's not what it's about. And in terms of authenticity, and this guy was, he wasn't going for money. He was not going for fame. He was going for the truth and trying to understand this insane life that we have all been born into in this crazy planet. And that's a very respectable endeavor.
Yes. And no one else is going to be able to do it like him, hands down.
No. Yeah, great point. Like, talk about an individual. Literally no one ever.
Ever.
Will be that guy. All right, man. Well, is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, just pretty much that's all I got to say about him, you know. And
that was good.
My thoughts go out to his family, you know.
Seriously, man. Yeah, maybe we should have started with that. Like, those are the people who
they.
You know, he had a 3-year-old, right?
I think no, is it 3? I know he had 1 child.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, he does have a child, so you know it's, and like I said, my thoughts go out to the whole extended family, to all of them, and his close friends.
So, yeah, me too, to say the least. And you know, the other thing too, if anyone, not to turn this into a hotline, but it's always worth mentioning, like,
yeah,
even for a guy who was an answer seeker, it doesn't mean he had the answer by doing what he did, how he did it to end his life. Like, don't fucking do that.
Seek help.
Get help. And I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure if he could do it again, he fucking would not have. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he was a good guy, and like, just don't make that decision.
Yeah, it's rough.
But that also is not to demonize anyone who does. Again, that's the opposite of what this podcast was to do. I don't want to demonize him at all. And I want to just, you know, like, memorialize him. I saw this, like, the last thing I'll say is I remember seeing Kevin Smith live. And it was like, obviously, he's been a huge influence on me if you've ever listened to any of my other shows. But, like, in short, he was just like, when people die, you know, really – you only get like a couple moments of people looking back and then they move the fuck on. And that's a depressing thing to think about. But if you're a guy like Bourdain, what Kevin Smith tries to do with his career of like all the podcasts that he makes and all the movies and TV and shit, it's like, I just want people to pause for a little longer. You know? So it's like, I just wanted to take the pause for Anthony Bourdain. And the least we could do is give him a half hour of our life, you know?
Yes. Well said.
All right, cool. So thank you. And yeah, this has been Update Nerd Style again. I am Benjamin David from the Above and Batman Beyond podcast. You can find it on iTunes, SoundCloud, batmanbeyondpodcast.com. And Mag, where can we find you?
You can find me on Steady Geekin' podcast, and that's on the Earplug Podcast Network. And you can find me on Anchor under Mag. And I do Mag Ramblings, and you can find me on Twitch as Beaconite. And that's pretty much it, folks.
All right, cool. Well, next time we meet on better circumstances, not to say that, you know, this has actually made me think, like, there's probably more stuff we could talk about with Bourdain. So not to say this is the last Bourdain podcast, but next time we talk, it won't be as sad. We'll put it that way. Do you agree?
100%.
All right, man. Well, again, this has been Update Nerd Style, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.